الله بالخير. دراسة أعدتها قيادة التحالف العسكري للتغيير التابعة لحلف الأطلسي بعنوان الحرب المعرفية أو الكوجنيتيف وورفير، الذي أصبح مصطلحا متكررا في قاموس المصطلحات العسكرية في السنوات الأخيرة. هل بات العقل البشري ساحة جديدة للحرب؟ وهل تغيرت طبيعة الحرب اليوم؟ وما التحديات؟ أين روسيا من خطط الناتو في الحرب المعرفية؟ ولمن الغلبة؟ هل تحسم حروب العقل أو الأدمغة ما لم تحسمه أرض المعارك التقليدية؟ نتعرف إلى الحرب المعرفية ونستشرف تبعاتها وخطورتها مع ضيفنا المفكر والمناظر الروسي البروفيسور ألكسندر دوغن. نرى ونسمع أكثر ونعقب في البعد الأقرب. هذه الميادين، وأنا زينب صفار. خليكم. Alexander Dugin, influential Russian philosopher, theorist, strategist, sociologist, founder of the fourth political theory and neo-Eurasianism. Professor Dugin, hello, welcome to Al Mayadeen. This is the proximate aspect. Lovely to talk to you, sir.
Hello, nice to see you.
Always, sir. As written in the Warfighting Project of 2040 report, the nature of warfare has changed. New forms of warfare have emerged, such as the cognitive warfare. While the human mind is now being considered as a new domain of war, a key player in NATO's evolution and strategic thinking, the Allied Command Transformation has been exploring this new technique. Has the human brain, sir, become a new battleground? And what are the challenges in this sense?
In order to understand this new transformation of warfare and changing its nature, we need to go to the beginning of the 90s, when first the concept of network warfare was introduced in Pentagon in United States of America. And that was the from the beginning, from the start, that was very interesting application of postmodern philosophy to the field of war. So the main idea of sociology, of the history, that there are three phases of human development: traditional society, modern society, and post-modern society. Mm-hmm. And there are three general way to make war in these phases. First of all, traditional army, the war of forms, as mm-hmm. it was put by Clausewitz. Next, modern war, that was already the huge use of industrial infrastructure. So in modernity, not only the brave soldiers, genius of leaders, military leaders, but as well the industrial potential was very important, resources. And in postmodern world, in postmodern phase of human development, it is precisely human brain. Mm-hmm. It is cognitive from the beginning. And the idea was that postmodern war, it is informational, essentially. And postmodern war gains control over consciousness of the population, not necessarily over body, but over mind. That is the war of minds, and the mentality or map of a human mentality is the main battlefield in this new kind of war. But it is not only now when we are dealing that. So the United States, the West, develops these kind of warfare at least and for 35 years, maybe much more. So it right. is already developed.
Sure. Allow me to ask you here. So according to the study, Dr. Dugan, about cognitive warfare, it is the way of using knowledge for a conflicting purpose. In its broadest sense, cognitive warfare is not limited to the military or institutional world. Since the early 1990s, this capability has tended to be applied to the political, economic, cultural, and societal fields. So social engineering always starts with a deep dive into the human environment of the target and its psychology. Has Russia prioritized and employed this cognitive warfare as a precursor to its military operation against Ukraine, sir?
I'm sad to say that, but no. Absolutely no. Because instead of...
But you are being accused by the NATO of using this kind of warfare as a precursor to your military operation. How do you respond, sir?
So first of all, I have read for 30 years NATO reports and papers. I understand what they do, but in spite of all my efforts to bring this knowledge to the chiefs of Russian state, I would say that it was failure, because now Russia consider the war in the terms of modernity. Mm-hmm. So Russia is leading modern war in Ukraine. And I think that is the explanation why we have not so much victories there, so much unexpected obstacles manifest themselves in our way to our victory. So if I were a real source of influence or on the leading figure in Russian politics, I would say that Russia would employ this cognitive warfare, network warfare, much earlier, and we would be prepared and ready to encounter.
Allow me, sir, here to ask you something. I mean, to rephrase the question, that which is according to the study also, that in the wake of the U.S. BRAIN initiative initiated in 2014, all the major powers like the EU, China and Russia have launched their own BRAIN research programs with substantial fundings. China sees the brain as the headquarters of the human body, and precisely attacking the headquarters is one of the most effective strategies for determining victory or defeat on the battlefield. What about Russia? Does Russia today invest in the weaponization of neurosciences?
No, unfortunately, no. So Russia underestimates largely this aspect. Nobody cares about postmodernity, but postmodernity is studied very closely by American military staff, military leading figure during more than 40 years, and they try to apply the concept that society is the text, and changing the text or the texture, we could reach the goal much more important than we could reach by normally classical form of war of the body. So the texture, social texture, cultural, political, economical texture is something completely different. And if we could reduce to this text, so society understood as a text, all the factors in the society, so we could win the war without one shot. So that is idea. And that is the idea of network warfare. And unfortunately, Russia is not prepared for that. And that is the reason of our defeats during this war.
Professor Dugin, where is Russia from the NATO's plans in the cognitive warfare? And who will prevail, in your opinion, and why?
First of all, in the eyes of NATO, Russia is the main obstacle in the creation of unipolar hegemony. So Russia, in spite of all, in spite of many lack of understanding of the laws of geopolitics or of the new Western civilization, and in spite of that, Russia being sovereign country and fighting for conservation and defense of its sovereignty, it is the obstacle. So it is obstacle for the hegemony. And that is the reason why the West is absolutely now united, almost all the West, against us. So that we are obstacle on the road of the globalization, of the global liberal hegemony. And the Western strategists understand that very well. And they use all the fields, economic field, traditional military warfare field now in Ukraine, supplying weapon of all kind to Ukrainians, but use as well cognitive warfare, because the huge part of Russian political class, of Russian elite, is totally engaged in the Western way of thinking. They have their money outside of Russia. They share the global patterns of Western way of thought and way of life. So they are already, in spite of themselves, a kind of unit fighting inside of on the other side of the front, inside of our society. And we could not identify them as spies, for example, because they are military unit of the kind of the war we don't understand. We know nothing about that. And they, all the liberals in Russia, all the most part of the Russian political elite are unconscious or conscious fighters against Russian sovereignty, because they belong to the field, to the texture, to the text controlled by the NATO, by the West. And I think the militarization of the cognitive sphere, warfare, it is something that that West practices for three decennies and much more. And we are
so totally... the bottom line is that it was not successful in Russia, against Russia, the cognitive warfare so far.
I wouldn't say that. So there is something other. So it, for the time being, it is not successful because...
What is this other, sir?
Yes, two factors prevent their victory over our society. President Putin, who is absolutely devoted to the sovereignty. He is the man who considers the sovereignty as the highest value. In that, he is absolutely strong, and the people who support such attitude. So, we are still in the field, in the face of modernity. We have society and the people, we have a sovereign leader, and they work together, they understand each other, and that is our power, it's our strength. But we don't recognize yet the real real rules of this new kind of warfare, and that is our weak point. I'm target of the Western military organization terrorist attack, precisely because maybe I'm one of the very few people in Russia who understand this, the challenge, the seriousness of of this new kind of warfare. And I've tried for many years to attract attention to this factor, and I failed.
Right.
I
could allow me to ask you here, sir, hopefully you can succeed. Recent wars have shown the inability to achieve the strategic goals. Example, one of these wars is in Afghanistan. The cognitive warfare, which includes the increasing use of MBICs, which is nanotechnology, biotechnology, information technology, cognitive sciences, for military purposes, may provide a sure way of military dominance in a near future. So can it, this kind of warfare, sir, can it provide a decisive victory away from the conventional war?
Interesting. When USA troops left Afghanistan, I thought that maybe that is precisely the demonstration of the limits of this cognitive warfare, because they control the informational sphere, economy, political center, but they didn't control the people, and the people protested and got them out of the country. But now we see maybe it is a kind of calculation, and maybe that is some purpose. For example, leaving Afghanistan, concentrating on the Ukraine in order to destroy Russia, and in the same time, in the parallel, preparing Taliban movement to attack some border countries close to Russia, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan. Mm-hmm. That will be much more smarter strategy. So it is that could give much more a victory to the West. So we shouldn't underestimate the West. So it is not absolute weapon, this cognitive war. They could fail, but maybe. They have some special and very, very effective strategy to use against us and China and all the rest, against India, against Islamic war, because they are inside of our society. They could introduce their paradigms in our culture and our educational system, and including being sovereign, so-called, we are penetrated by their networks. Operating inside of our society. Maybe they are much smarter than they seem. And I think that we should be very, very careful now. So it is a real challenge. And when they use the consciousness of the people and cognitive sphere and the mentality to achieve their goal, that is why they are so so cute, they are so smart in introducing their educational system, cultural pattern, their technology. So they use on a full scale domination over our mind, over our emotion. They try to install the control, including over unconsciousness of collective unconsciousness of the people.
Right. It's smart, yet very dangerous. Russia's rediscovery of its authentic roots, its reabsorption of its true identity, and a new approach for Russian leaders to inculcate the state and its society's culture on the path of authenticity, traditional values, and civilized sovereignty as the beginning of a new history for the state. This is perhaps, Dr. Dugin, the philosophical roots of Russia today. You consider, sir, the cold-blooded assassination of a very young intellectual woman, your daughter, may her soul rest in peace, Daria Dugina, as the beginning of the unprecedented intellectual genocide or the anti-philosophical terrorism of globalists.
Yes, that is very tragical and very, very, very painful confirmation of the importance of the thought. So this new war, it is first of all the war of ideas, and Daria, my daughter, was one of the main leading figure in among Russian youth to promote anti-globalist philosophical agenda. She was not absolutely not so much known as journalist or correspondent of the war, but she was in Donetsk, Donbass. But that was just a side, one aspect of her activity. First of all, she was philosopher, and she was skilled, and maybe they aimed at myself. But that is the same, both of us, she and myself, as well as my wife and all my followers, are philosophers. Mm-hmm. And philosophy now is battlefield, because, you know, there is organization Philosophers for Ukraine, and they try to combine liberalism, LGBT, with neo-Nazism in order to promote this intellectual weapon for them. So they try, Philosophers for Ukraine, they try to explain to the Western audience this Nazism, when it is in favor of the West, is good. And absence of Nazism in case of Russia is bad. So philosophical explanation, philosophical arguments, philosophical paradigms, the logos is the central point of new warfare. That is why we were chosen as the main goal of our enemy. So that is exactly, precisely as you have said, that is the war of values, of civilizations. And Russia now makes, with many difficulties, passage from defense of sovereignty that is already obvious for our president to defense of our civilizational roots that is not at all obvious, not neither for him nor for political elite, nor for people. So it is a new, something absolutely new. We should make transition from just sovereign way of thinking as national state, you know, to think ourselves as alternative civilization. And we need to form, to declare, to announce our values and create this cognitive weapon precisely basing on these traditional values. And we need friends who defends their traditional values that could not necessarily coincide with ours. So that is a huge amount of work in the philosophical field in order to make our victory.
Of course, possible. If we work together, united, it would be the end result, the outcome would be as is required. Professor Alexander Dugin, prominent Russian thinker and theorist, thank you very much, sir, for your eye-opening insights always. And always good to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Best wishes.
لعل الحرب المعرفية بحسب الخبراء تتجاوز المعلومات لتستهدف العقول الفردية وما ستفعل بتلك المعلومات إنها تعمل على المسرح العالمي لأن البشرية كلها أصبحت الآن رقميا متصلة بعضها مع بعض هي تستخدم تكنولوجيا المعلومات والأدوات والآلات والشبكات والأنظمة التي تأتي معها هدفها واضح ذكاؤنا فرديا وجماعيا في منطقة أو بلد أو مجموعة بلدان معينة هذا العدوان المعرفي لا حدود له ونظرا لعدم وجود إطار قانوني دولي متفق عليه في مجال علوم الأعصاب فقد يؤدي الناتو بحسب الدراسة دورا في الضغط من أجل إنشاء الإطار القانوني الدولي الذي يفي لما يسمى بالمعايير الأخلاقية لدول الناتو لكن هل يلتزم حلف الناتو نفسه والغرب بقانون الصراع المسلح أو حتى بالقوانين والقواعد الدولية والإنسانية؟ فيما لا؟